mind was there.
Hard feelings after an eviction.
We had 48 hours to move all of our stuff, two kids and a wife, out of a house.
But the anger hasn't moved on.
How did the glass get broken?
One of the kids threw a ball in the yard.
Then you have to fix it.
You want me to do carpentry work to a house that's not mine?
I don't want you to do anything.
I would have paid for it to be
fixed. I don't want you to do anything but lose your attitude.
Judge Judy. You are about to enter the courtroom of Judge Judith Scheindlin. The people are real. The cases are real. The rulings are final. This is Judge Judy. Robert Halleck is suing his former tenants, Jeff and Tammy Doerr, for unpaid rent, late fees, and for hiding seafood throughout the house when they moved out.
Order. All rise.
Case number 144 on the calendar, the matter of Halleck versus Doerr.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Judge. Parties have been sworn in. You may be seated.
Mr. Halleck, the defendants were tenants of yours, and you claimed that they owe you some money for rent, damage to the house, and for attorney's fees to have them evicted. The Doerrs have a counterclaim, which I actually don't understand, for their moving costs. They said you really shouldn't have evicted them. How long, Mr. Doerr, did you live in the plaintiff's house?
We were in the second term of the second year of the lease, so about a year and three quarters.
Correct?
Yes.
And how many months' rent did you not pay?
Two.
Was it all at one time that you didn't pay 2 months' rent, or were you short 1 month and then short a little bit more, or you just didn't pay at all for 2 months?
I was short the month of November. I didn't pay December or January when the eviction process started.
What was your monthly rent?
$900.
And how short were you in November?
I was $600 short.
Did you ever give that to Mr. Halleck?
To this date, no.
So you owe him that $600, and you owe him $900 for December?
No, Your Honor. I don't owe him anything.
Well, you lived there. Your behind was there.
I understand that.
You and your wife's tuchuses were in his house. And you had a lease, and you knew you had rent. You went to the restaurant, you ate the steak. Whether you liked it or not, wasn't my problem, it's not his problem. You ate it. You waited in the month of November, December,
Your
and
Honor,
January.
I went there in September. I went to him in September and explained to him that my wife had a fatal illness.
Listen to me. This is his business.
That's good. He knew about all of this to begin with.
Listen to me. This is his business. He may be a nice guy and say, I understand your personal problems. You have medical issues at home. You have financial issues at home. But this is my business. So he's here in court today, and my job is not to hear about your family problems. That's for another venue. Here is a court. You lived in the house. He did not excuse the rent. So you were $600 short in November, you did not pay in December, and you did not pay in January.
He actually owes for February also.
In February, I offered him the full amount of the behind rent.
Just a second. Were you living there on February 1st?
Yes, Your Honor.
Were you living there on February 15th?
Yes, Your Honor.
Did you pay February's rent?
We did not pay February's rent.
So at the you end owe of February, another $900.
He excused that. When we went at the end of February, I offered him the payment that we owed him for the past rent in full and the current rent, and he told us that he had already rented the place and to go somewhere else.
When you moved into the house, Mr. Doerr, did you give Mr. Halleck a security deposit?
Yes, I did.
How much?
$750.
So far, correct? Did you apply that $750 towards any damages that you allege they did in the house?
Yes.
So you did not return the $750?
No.
Is that correct?
That's correct.
And the defendant and his family were in fact evicted?
Yeah.
Yes, would be the answer.
Yes.
So now I want you to tell me what damage you allege that they did in the house, which caused you to not only keep their security deposit of $750, but I assume spend more than that because you're asking for $4,875.
Right.
Go ahead.
Okay. I got pictures here.
I'd like to see the photographs.
Yeah.
Did you take any photographs when you left the house?
No, Your Honor, we didn't have time to take any photographs. We barely had time to get any of our stuff out.
He had plenty of notice.
I know he had notice.
Okay. This right here is the panel. There's one missing from that side.
No, we didn't have notice.
That they busted.
You had plenty of notice.
No, we didn't.
Well, you actually did, Mr. Dorr.
No, actually, we didn't.
You actually
we had 2 days to move all
November.
Of that stuff out of the
Since
house.
November.
And we were told that if we came up with all the money within 21 days, that he would let us stay. And on that 19th day, I told him I had the money, and he told us we couldn't stay anyway. So we had 48 hours to move all of our stuff, two kids and a wife, out of a house.
I see here, and it is alleged in your complaint, that there was seafood left in...
Oh, yeah. It's in the pictures.
Well, I see that. Where was it left?
It was left behind my hot water tank in the closet. 3 bags of it.
Behind the hot water tank?
Yes, because I actually opened the closet. I didn't see them, but the cleaning lady that I had in there, she actually reached behind it and pulled these out, and we were outside dealing with the mussels that were rotting in coolers.
Where were the mussels?
Out in coolers in the yard. You can see that there's mussels in the snow. That's a cooler that got dumped over, and we took pictures of it. So she came out and goes, look what I found, mussels.
The place is a mess. What other damage?
Right here is a Pembe glass, the broken window that's in the picture. He tried to have Pembe glass put a single pane piece of glass in a double pane window.
You should have fixed it. You should have fixed the window.
You broke the window.
Shh.
You broke the window.
Mr. Dorr, when was the glass broken and how?
Months before any of this happened. You asked when. I'm answering you.
Don't get fresh with me. Get fresh with me. I'll throw you out and give him exactly what he wants. I asked you a question. When and how did the glass get broken?
Probably 10 months before any of this happened.
And how did the glass get broken?
One of the kids threw a ball in the yard.
Whose kid?
My kid.
Then you have to fix it.
You want me to do carpentry work to a house that's not mine?
Do I? I don't want you to do anything but lose your attitude. You may be able to get away with that attitude with the woman you live with, and maybe you can get away with it with your boss, but I'm telling you that a human being, a responsible adult, if one of their children breaks a window, they fix it. That's what they do. And they don't say to a judge, what do you want me to do, carpentry too? If one of your offspring, who is not supervised appropriately, breaks something, the parents are supposed to fix it. That's what responsible people do. They don't leave their house a pig pen, and they fix damage that they cause.
The lease stated we weren't supposed to do repairs like that.
I didn't say anything to you. Close your mouth. When I ask you a question, you can answer it. Other than that, don't speak to me. Okay, what else?
I have a receipt for the storm door. You'll see it was missing on there that I had to replace. And this is a gas fuel receipts for when Jeff was in jail at Christmas. I had to put fuel oil in there to keep my pipes from freezing.
How long was he in jail that you know that he was in jail?
A couple of weeks, I think.
Okay, I just want to look at the receipts.
Oh, yeah?
I'm trying to see if there was sufficient. All right, this is 100, this is another 100, this is another 100 for this, and I find you justified in keeping his security deposit to clean up this disaster that they left. So I'm awarding you $3,300 in the rent that he owes you. Thank you very much. Your counterclaim for moving expenses is dismissed. That's all.
Thank you. Parties are excused. You may step out.
My wife was sick and we fell behind a little bit, and he was reasonable to begin with and then wasn't.
We had to move, and we have young children in school. It was only a couple months left of school, so we had to drive them back and forth from another town.
I have a tenant now, a professional woman, pays me every other week. No problems, and takes care of the place like it's hers.
And now, the next case.
All parties in the matter of Mauna versus Dennis. Step forward.
Lorena Mauna is suing her former neighbor, Latoya Dennis, for the return of a bracelet and for slashing her tires.
Miss Mauna, you and Miss Dennis were friends. It is your claim first that you let her borrow a bracelet of yours that she refuses to return. After you let her borrow your bracelet, according to you, there was some bad gossip that you had heard about, and you and the defendant had a falling out. According to you, the defendant then started to threaten you. How did she threaten you?
Leaving threatening letters.
Do you have any of those letters?
Yes, I do.
I'd like to look at them.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
He was a weapon that she brought to my home, and they were attacking me that day, trying to fight me, you know, getting all raspy over the bracelet, defaming me and slandering me. That's where the letter came from.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Lorena Mauna
says former neighbor Latoya Dennis won't return her bracelet and slashed her tires. Latoya is countersuing for a false restraining order.
Okay, would you show these two letters to Miss Dennis? I'd like you to tell me, Miss Dennis, when you sent those letters.
I sent the letters on June 13th, the day that she and her husband came to my home to ask about the bracelet after 2 months of not talking to each other.
Those are pretty serious letters, pretty threatening letters. Certainly unladylike, to say the least. How did you deliver the letters to her?
I put them at her door, and the actual letter that she submitted to the first court is in
its entirety. About those two letters. Let's deal with those. You put them on her door.
Yes.
Was it before or after those letters that you were evicted from your apartment?
It was after the letters. I wasn't evicted, actually.
Well, tell me the circumstances surrounding your leaving the apartment.
They asked me to leave.
They asked you to leave and you left. Shh. They asked you to leave and you left.
Yeah, I wasn't served an eviction notice. I just was asked to leave.
They asked you to leave.
Mm-hmm.
Were these threats part of the reason that you know of that you were asked to leave?
Yes.
Yes. Now, I want you to tell me what happened when Miss Marna came to your door asking for the return of the bracelet.
She came to the door and asked me, do I have the bracelet? I told her I had not seen it since the concert.
And when was the concert?
April 26th.
Is that when you took possession of the bracelet?
Yes.
Did you go to the concert together?
Yes.
Tell me about the bracelet.
Well, it was her birthday, so we were going to a concert. And as we were leaving, she said, I have a bracelet that will look good with your outfit, and gave it to me to wear.
And
we went to the concert.
And you hadn't seen the bracelet since?
Yes.
So she came to the door 6 weeks later, where's my bracelet?
Yes.
And you said, I haven't seen it?
Yes.
Now, what kind of a fight did you have in between April 26th and June 13th when she came to the door?
Absolutely no contact.
Do you know why?
No, I don't.
You want to tell me why?
She was spreading rumors about me to the neighbors.
That's what you heard?
Yes, what I heard.
Without going into detail?
Yes.
Okay, so then she came and you said, I haven't seen the bracelet. And then what happened?
And then her and her husband became very threatening. She approached my door saying that he was there to protect her. When I told her that I did not see the bracelet, she and him began to threaten and defame and slander me in front of children and neighbors and my children as well. And it lasted for about 15 to 20 minutes of them at my door. And after they left, I wrote the long letter that's in its entirety so that you can read the whole letter as I wrote it to her, not in pages of scraps that she gave you.
Well, these two letters, were they written the same day?
No, those were all written in one letter, and those were left after. I only left two notes after that one entire letter.
I want to see what you're talking about. Do you have a copy of it?
Yes, I do.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a picture of this bracelet, Miss Mona?
I have something that looks like it. I couldn't get the actual bracelet. We tried. I have something that is similar to it. And I forgot to give this to evidence to the rest of the threatening neighbors.
Does this look like the bracelet she gave you?
No. It's the shape of it, but it's not. Doesn't look like the bracelet.
It's the shape of it?
Yeah.
Look, if she was your friend and let you borrow the bracelet, and she came and she said, where's the bracelet? I want it back. And you said, well, I haven't seen it since the concert. I'm sorry I lost it. I'll replace it for you. Is that what you said to her?
Yes, I was at the door. I said,
just a second. I said, did you say to her, I'm sorry, I must have lost it. I'll replace it for you.
At the time, I said, I will look for it and see if I have it and then try to find it and give it to you.
Is that what she said to you?
Yeah, she said that she would, if she found it, she would bring it to me.
And if you didn't find it?
We didn't get to that part. She became irate. She began to yell and scream at the door. We didn't even get to that.
All right. Well, the price that she lists here for the bracelet is $69 for a bracelet that's similar. The next part of her lawsuit has to do with slashed tires. Tell me about when your tires were slashed.
Well, the night before, on Sunday morning.
Sunday what date?
Sorry, June 30th. I woke up to go to church that morning. There was two letters super glued. One was to the door, on the wall, and then another one was on the floor. And then Monday morning came around. I was hiding my car because I already had a feeling she was going to do something to my car. And then on Monday morning, around 6 a.m., I seen her walking around my car, circling the car, and then bending over and slashing it.
Oh.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
Your Honor, I have not been after this woman. I have not cared enough to slash tires. I will do that to my ex-boyfriend, not to some girl. She's not that important to me.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Lorena Mauna says former neighbor Latoya Dennis won't return her bracelet and slashed her tires. Latoya is countersuing for a false restraining order.
Well, Miss Mauna, what you just told me was a lie because you never saw her slash your tires.
I seen her by the car, but I never seen actually like slash, but I did see her by the car. I never seen a knife like
The
told
first
the officer.
Thing that you told the police officer is that you came down to your car in the morning, 7 o'clock, and you saw the tires slashed.
I told the officer I seen her, officer.
Just a second. Okay. That's what you said. And you said you saw that at 7 o'clock in the morning. And you said earlier that morning at 6 o'clock, so an hour before is what you're telling me, an hour before you saw somebody that you had been having a big to-do with around your car, and it took you an hour to go downstairs to look and see what
was
happening?
No, I was trying to call the police, but they kept saying that they're very busy, they cannot come out. I kept trying to call. They said it's going to take a couple hours to come out, and then I had to go to work that day. I had just started my new job, and I was hiding the car. I knew she was going to do something to my car.
It's a lie. It's a bold-faced lie.
You're not telling the same story here today as you told to the police, and it doesn't make sense to me that if you see somebody around your car and they leave, it takes you an hour to go downstairs and take a look at your car. That doesn't, Miss Dennis, mean that I don't know whether you slashed the tires on her car.
I did not.
Do you understand?
Yes, I understand.
I'm not sure whether you did or whether you didn't. This is a question of proof. Now, both the police officer as well as I am unable to positively determine whether Miss Dennis did in fact cause damage to your car. But she does have to pay for your bracelet because that she borrowed and lost. And according to you, its value is $69. You have a cross complaint, Miss Dennis. So your cross complaint is that she filed an application for a restraining order against you, making false allegations.
Yes.
What are the false allegations?
Well, based on
she did in fact file a restraining order against you. Based upon what I have read, she had every basis to file an application for a restraining order against you.
No.
Well, you tell me why you think she had none. I've seen the letters that you sent to her.
And that's because in the police report, she filed that I was threatened to cut and kill her, and I was coming to her house yelling things. I left a letter on June 13th and left another letter on June 29th. But in that meantime, I have not seen her. I have not assaulted her. There have been no altercations or incidents.
It don't have to
that
be.
But it's because of what she and her husband did. He was a weapon that she brought to my home, and they were attacking me that day. It's unfortunate that it wasn't recorded.
No. Just a second. You said they were attacking you. Would you tell me how they
verbally
were
attacking me? Absolutely. Trying to fight me, you know, getting all raspy over the bracelet. And she was, you know, they were there for like 15, 20 minutes verbally attacking me, defaming me and slandering me. That's where the letter came from. But that's what she's not telling you. So after that, Your Honor, I have not been after this woman. I have not cared enough to slash tires. I will do that to my ex-boyfriend, not to some girl. She's not that important to me.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. Closed captioning sponsored by. Are you the victim of an assault? Go to judgejudy.com. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Now, the letters that you sent to her are threatening in nature.
So she threatened
just
me first.
You could have filed for a protective order.
But she got
your
me.
You could have filed for a protective order.
Okay.
If you felt threatened, your response was to send these letters to her. They are threatening, provocative letters. If she perceives these letters, as I would if I got them, as threatening in nature, she is entitled to file for a protective order to keep you away from her.
And it was denied based on I haven't even been around her. All I did was send a note.
Goodbye.
Thank you.
Please excuse me, step out.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. And on the next Judge Judy.
I think the decision was very fair. I'm happy she got her bracelet.
I'm glad that she figured it out, that she did, you know, borrow my bracelet and didn't give it back to me.
I wrote her a letter in response to what she and her husband came to my home and did.
She was talking about me to neighbors and a manager.
It was total disrespect, and it was a threat to bring him to my home to argue with me over something girly as to a bracelet. We could have solved that.
I'm actually a little afraid of her, if you see her size.
I could have said, hey, I lost it. I replaced it. But what she did at my home caused the letter.
She was talking about my children and my son, who's actually a special ed child. She was really, just talking really bad about him.
No, absolutely not. I will never say anything bad about someone's child. I'm a mother myself, but yes, I said things about her.